Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. So, I have a little question for you to start with. How would you answer if one of your unchurched friends were to come up to you and say, you know, I've been reading through the Gospels lately, and I keep coming across this phrase, and I really don't know what to make of it. And so I thought maybe you could help me out. As I read through the Gospels, Jesus keeps talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So what's he mean? What's that all about? What is this thing he keeps talking about? Just kind of wondering. Can you help me? Well, you know, your friend's in good company. Because Peter and Andrew and James and John, those first disciples that Jesus called, as well as the people that were following him around, wondered the same thing. What is this thing that Jesus is talking about? What is it that he means? Because you see, after Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness following his baptism, we're told that he went into the region of Galilee and he began to preach. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Then he called his first disciples. And then he went throughout the region, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among people. Now, when something like that happens, news travels, especially in a small town, right? As you're probably really well aware, sometimes you can't sneeze without the rest of the town knowing what you're doing. Well, word about Jesus spread, and it spread not just in one small town, but it spread from one small town to another small town. And finally, the news reached Jerusalem. People were coming out. I mean, if some guy's healing folks, you want to see that, don't you? Maybe you just want to experience it. So there were people coming from all over. Who is he? What's it all about? But not only that, they also came because they had something on their hearts. You know, we all do from time to time. Kind of have burdens. Things that pull us down. Things that we wonder about. We question. Things that, you ever have those things in your life that just kind of suck the energy, suck the life right out of you? And don't you wish you could find a way to kind of make sense out of everything? That's what people really wanted. The healing was great, but there was more to it than that. And so crowds began to follow. And that's where we have this lesson that's before us, this Sermon on the Mount. And these three chapters in Matthew, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, are Jesus' vision, his idea, his concept of what a new world would be like. And he calls this new world the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, as I was doing some reading on this, we're going to take a look at this over the next couple weeks. I think the next 4 weeks we're going to continue to take a look at part of this vision that he has, just so you know what's going to be going on. But when we speak about kingdom, how many of you use that word day-to-day basis? Anybody? No, I don't think so. And so as I was doing some reading on this, one of the scholars I read said, you know, it's really kind of a politically incorrect word. Really? Yeah, and his rationale behind it was that when most people think of kingdoms, they think of what? Kings. And are most kings good or bad? Bad. Sometimes they're good. Most of the time they're bad. In the Bible they're bad. In church history they're bad. There's, you know, he says, well, this just carries all these negative connotations. Talk about the kingdom of God and everybody's going, it's bad. Okay. Or he said, you know, sometimes it can be kind of like fairy tale stuff. When you think of kingdoms, you think of princes, princesses, kings, dragons, all that kind of, you know. He said, well, that just kind of carries bad images too. And then there's always this idea of the kingdom of heaven. When you hear that, a lot of times people think of what? What happens when you die? So it's way up there somewhere, and it'll happen someday, but not now. So I don't know if this guy's right or not. I still like the term kingdom of heaven. I like the term kingdom of God, but, you know, I'm kind of old, so maybe that's what, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but I'll deal with it. So if we're going to come up with another term or another way of looking at this, this is what it would be or could be. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about something right here, right now. He's talking about God's world. The way the world would be, or the way that God wants the world to be. That's the kingdom that Jesus speaks about. So, you know, if you don't like the word kingdom, just put in there God's world. It works. Now, when we look at this, there are a few things we're just going to go through real fast. And then we'll look at the Beatitudes before us. There's a couple things we need to clear up. First of all, the Sermon on the Mount is not how to become a disciple of Jesus. Okay? It's not a little checklist that says, if you do this and do this and do this and do this, you are a disciple of Jesus. Because of one reason, you're already a disciple of Jesus. Do you follow Jesus? And you're all supposed to shake your head yes. Do you want to learn from Jesus? Do you want to learn what he has to teach us? Yes, all right, you're already a disciple. It's not how to become a disciple. What is it about? It's how a disciple lives out their life. Because you are a disciple, this is the way you learn or live. So if you want to understand how it is that you live out kingdom life, God's world life, read the Sermon on the Mount. That's what that's all about. The next thing is this. The Sermon on the Mount is, there are a lot of scholars out there. I'm going to give you a little scholar stuff this morning, and then we'll get into the other stuff. But it's kind of good for you. There are a lot of scholars out there that think that this Sermon on the Mount that we have in Matthew is actually the same thing as we see in Luke, which is a Sermon on the Plain. And all that Matthew has done is just changed it a little bit. And so instead of saying, blessed are the poor, because that doesn't sound good to people, does it? You want to be poor? Woe to the rich. That's in the other one. Go look at it. See antithesis? Blessed are the poor. Woe to the rich. Woo. Blessed are those that mourn. Too bad for you guys that are happy. So they say, well, Matthew kind of softened it a little bit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, I'm not buying that one. I'm the minority opinion here today, so you can accept it or not. I don't care. But this is what I believe. Have you ever told a story to anybody? Have you done that? Okay. Do you tell the story the same way every time? Do you change it? Depending on what? Who you're talking to? How much you really want them to know? And what the circumstances are? Well, Jesus didn't just say this stuff once. Jesus told it over and over and over again. And depending on where he was and the circumstances that he was speaking in, he told it differently. So one time he could have said, blessed are the poor. And another time he could have said, blessed are those of you that are poor in spirit. I don't really think this is rocket science, but it's okay. Then there are other folks who believe that the Sermon on the Mount is actually not one big thing that Jesus did at one time. But rather, it's you take all the good things that Jesus... What it is the best of Jesus. Buy the album, The Best of Jesus. 20 greatest hits, condensed into 3 chapters. I don't know. I don't buy that one either. I think this was one big thing, because I don't think it's a sermon like we think of sermons today, where you just have to sit here and listen to me until you get tired and it gets close to kickoff and you walk out the door. I think this is more like a college seminar. And I would hope that when you read this, you would kind of read it with that in mind. Jesus starts off, first 16 verses, he's laying the foundation. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, all that kind of, and then he does, you are the light and salt, and all that. And then you can almost sense, see, hear people asking questions. Well, what about the law and the prophets? I mean, you know. And he says, don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. And he talks about that a little bit. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you certainly will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, how do we surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees? And I mean, they're like, what, the way up guys? Well, you've heard it said. And then he talks about murder and divorce. And you can hear, what about this situation? What about that situation? Go home, read it. Take a different look at it. It's kind of fun. Even if I'm wrong, it's kind of fun. But I don't think I am. All right, so. Now, if you want to get people to follow you, what do you try to do? You motivate them, right? Let's motivate them. And the way you motivate most people is to do what? Give them what they want. Right? What do we want? Money, power, good job, pension, 401k that never ends, health care that's affordable. That was not a political statement. Oh, yeah. Just dig a hole today and keep going. There's all kinds of things that we want in life. So when Jesus opened his mouth, the people that were there must have been shocked, because he starts off with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Or another way of saying it is this. Those of you who are poor in spirit are fortunate. Now, if you're poor in spirit, do you feel fortunate? Do you feel fortunate if, you know, you're kind of depressed and you're having a hard time getting in touch with God, or you can't... You ever have trouble hearing God's voice sometimes? It's like the line's busy. You just wish he'd pick up. Boy, I tell you, I have days like that all the time. But what is it about being poor in spirit? Well, the poor in spirit realize something. And this is what Jesus was trying to get across. We're going to do this very fast. Poor in spirit realize this, that they have to empty themselves of themselves. Blessed are you when you realize that it's not all about you. Blessed are you when you empty yourself of your pride. Blessed are you when you empty yourself of all the other things, because one of the things that we often tend to do is what? It's all about who? We don't like to say it, but it really is. It's all about who? It's all about me. Isn't that the way a lot of people live? It's all about me. If it fits into my schedule, if it works for me, it's all about me. And when we finally realize that it's not all about me, then we become part of the kingdom. Because then when you do that, you can suddenly look out. And when we look out on the world is a place of what? That hurts. Blessed are those who mourn. The world mourns. It hurts. It's got rips and tears in the fabric of life. And when we finally can see that, we finally realize that there's more to the world in which we live than us. And so what we do is we try to heal that. And the way that we heal that is, Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Now, usually when you think of meek, what do you think about? What kind of people are meek? Quiet, lowly, the wimps of life, right? Blessed are the wimps. No, that's not what that word means. The word that's used there is confident in themselves. Confident in themselves. Not egomaniacs, but confident in yourself. When you finally realize that you are okay. When you quit trying to live, I won't even ask you to raise your hand. How many of you try to live up to other people's expectations of who and what you ought to be? And you're just devastated if you tremble in fear because I can't live up to this person's or that person's expectation. You know, there's only one person's expectation you need to be living up to. God's. And if you can do that, then on the rest of them. Seriously, that's what that's all about. It means we empty ourselves, we look at the world around us, and we're confident in who and what we are. And when we're confident in who and what we are, we can treat one another with love and respect and mercy. We can seek righteousness, the right thing to do, not the, I'm so tired of doing the politically correct thing. Man, that just drives me nuts. I'm tired of it. Because what's politically correct to one person isn't politically correct to another. Yeah. Sensitive's one thing. There's a lot of other things. And when we do that, then we can work for things. We can work for peace. Peace doesn't mean the absence of conflict. Peace means what's right, what's just. It means treating one another with love and forgiveness and respect. And realizing that when we do that, not everybody's going to agree with it. Not everybody's going to like it. And sometimes doing it causes us to get hurt, physically or mentally. But it's worth it. Because it changes the world and makes it God's world. And this place that you're in right now, I want you to just look around real quick. Okay? Look around real quick. These are the people with whom you practice that. These are the folks with whom you practice and live that out. I have a news flash for you. If we can't live it out with one another, how in the world are we going to live it out outside these doors? This is the place where we learn it, live it, practice it, and then we carry it out. We carry it out and we live it out. And we change the world in which we live because it's not our world, it's God's. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.